Why has Triple H been so successful? Why is Triple H running WWE better than Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard on Monday and Friday night? Long-term booking.
Very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Monday Night Raw post show for May 13th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue inside my mother's basement. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Monday evenings, wherever you may be. We got another week, another Raw in the books. King of the Ring semi-finals has completed. And we now have a clearer picture as to who potentially will be the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring. I thought Raw was a very good show tonight. From top to bottom, I thought it flowed very good. I felt like a lot of what Triple H put into the show mattered. I felt like stories were being forwarded up and down the card. In every segment, you got some sort of progression. No matter how slow it was or how slow it may be going, we got some progression going into next week, into King, Queen of the Ring, and then past the PLE. So you see that the inner workings of whatever is going on Monday night is coming into effect. And I very much appreciate that because you guys know how much I enjoy story, because story is king. Now, they don't tell great stories up and down the card. They don't tell, you know, stories one week and then drop it off the next like we see in some other companies, by some other bookers. Sorry, guys. I got some allergies. You know, the pollen was up today. I thought Monday Night Raw was a solid show. And obviously, it was spearheaded by the King and Queen of the Ring. Now, we started off with the ladies. Io versus Shayna. Io Sky versus Shayna Baszler was the first thing that we saw tonight. I think it goes without saying that we knew that Io was going to go to the finals. I think everybody had predicted that, or the semifinals. I'm calling it the Raw final. She's in the final before the final. She will be going to Saudi. She beat Shayna Baszler tonight. And I thought that was Shayna's best singles match in maybe forever. And Io advances to next week. On the other side, we got Lyra Valkyria. Who? Why do I keep asking who? I should know who she is now, being that she's on the main roster. But I'm still lost. Oh, it's Becky Lynch's best friend. Okay, I got it, man. Listen, I won't make a mistake next week, maybe. Lyra Valkyrie. I got it. She's doing good for herself. I'll give her that. Lyra Valkyrie against Zoe Stark. Now, I think we all kind of knew where they were going with that. So she's in the final against Io, and that should be a good match. That should be a good match. It's a good spot for Lyra to be in. And I think she's going to do very well in there against Io, but she will ultimately fall short against Io. I think Io is going to the final of the Queen of the Ring tournament. On the men's side, this is where things got a little complicated. This is where things got a little controversial tonight. On one side, we got Jey Uso and Ilya Dragunov. Now, I'll get to him in a second. Or them in a second. Then we got Gunther and Kofi Kingston. Now, I think it was pretty apparent that Kofi Kingston was not going to defeat Gunther tonight in the semifinal match. Gunther is going into next week. He's going to be wrestling for the right to wrestle for the King of the Ring crown. The controversy came in the main event, which was Ilya Dragunov and Jey Uso. Now, we all know Jey Uso is probably, at this point, it's going to be neck and neck with Cody and LA Knight, still hugely popular. Jey Uso, CM Punk, obviously. Jey Uso is one of the top guys in the company as far as audience reaction is concerned. He's got the best entrance in pro wrestling. We all know that. WWE's trying to mimic what happened in Lyon, France, here in the United States, with his entrance. Everybody loves Jey Uso. Jey Uso was not supposed to be in the King of the Ring tournament. He actually took the place of Drew McIntyre. And I guess we should start off with this topic. Why did Jey Uso defeat somebody that almost everybody unanimously wanted to win this match tonight in the Mad Dragon, Ilya Dragunov? I'm going to go back to what I just mentioned to you. Jey Uso was not supposed to be in the tournament. He took the place of Drew McIntyre. I firmly believe that McIntyre was going to go on to win this tournament. I do. He wanted a world championship match. He got screwed out of the world championship by CM Punk at WrestleMania. He held the title less than 5 minutes. And I do genuinely believe that Drew McIntyre was going to win the King of the Ring tournament. Now, if we go based off that assumption, Jey Uso took the place of Drew McIntyre, and they're just plugging in somebody that is going to go along with the original plans. With Drew McIntyre winning the King of the Ring, Jey Uso is following the same path as he took McIntyre's spot in the tournament. That could be a possibility. Now, I'm not saying that Jey is going to win. I'm not saying that Jey should win the King of the Ring tournament. I'm just saying and calling out the obvious that McIntyre was supposed to be in it. I think everybody had him pegged to win the tournament, and he took the spot of the eventual winner. And they didn't want to ruffle the plans. They didn't want to change the plans too much. And they went with Jey, just filling in for McIntyre, and they're going with Jey all the way to the final. Dragunov, why didn't he win? I know that it was an easy slam dunk for WWE to get McIntyre, or not McIntyre, Dragunov and Gunther in the Raw final or the semifinal of the tournament. It's a slam dunk. You look at the brackets and the way that they lined up, and you're looking at that as a potential semifinal match, and you look at it head on and you're saying to yourself, there's no way I could pass this up. There's no way that I'm going to give this match up for Jey Uso and Gunther, who the last time they wrestled, by the way, was very mid. They did not have a good match. It might have been Gunther's worst match, and I hate using that word in the same sentence as Gunther. It might have been Gunther's worst match in the entire title reign that he had with the Intercontinental Championship, and I mean that. I didn't think that they gelled good together at all. Dragunov and Gunther was a slam dunk. WWE did not do that. I'm assuming they didn't do it tonight because they have bigger plans for that match. They have that match pegged for it to be a bigger deal, whether it's when Gunther wins the world championship, when we get to WrestleMania season, that could potentially be a WrestleMania match. If there's one thing that we know about Triple H, he loves long-term booking. He's already got it in his mind who he wants Gunther to wrestle come WrestleMania season. There's no doubt in my mind. He's already got this feud formulating in his head. He's not going to do it on a random episode of Monday Night Raw in Greensboro, North Carolina on Monday Night Raw. He's not going to do it. He's going to go with Jay. He's going to go with Gunther. And that's the safe bet. Meanwhile, he saves one of the biggest matches. If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sportsbook you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether it's odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole new experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention that they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or just curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy, and that's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using promo code SCRIPT and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code SCRIPT for a free cash bonus to kickstart your betting journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the baseball season in full swing, there's never a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet. That he possibly has right now on Monday night for somewhere that is a little bit more important. Now, if it was in the final of the tournament, that makes a little bit more sense. But this is the semifinal. I'm just making assumptions as to why Triple H didn't go with Ilya Dragunov. Now, on the flip side, if they did go with Dragunov and Gunther, which is one of the reasons why I don't really understand why they didn't do it, but I understand why, they could have easily made Dragunov into a legit superstar with the performance that he would have given us in a match against Gunther. Right now, he's in the building block phases. Not many people know who he is. Not many people are invested in what he is and what he brings to the table. They're still kind of feeling his character out. If they put him in a match with Gunther, I think it would have been, he would have blown the roof off not only Greensboro, but he would have solidified himself as a superstar and somebody that the fans legitimately should take as a serious threat on Monday night. I didn't feel that way against Jay tonight, and WWE potentially is going to have a longer road to get Dragunov where they want him to be. Meanwhile, they could have did that next week with Gunther, and they could have bypassed. It would have been like a cheat code. They could have bypassed all that and made him into a legit guy. Clearly, he wouldn't have won, but even in defeat, he probably would have looked fucking unbelievable. So I was wondering if they were going to do that. They didn't do that, and when they didn't do that, I'm like, man, they had another opportunity there. It was a slam dunk. Now we're looking at next week. We're looking at Jey Uso versus Gunther. We're going one of two ways with this. We're either going to get Gunther in the finals against Randy Orton, which is my prediction, because, again, that's another slam dunk match. Or is WWE using this tournament to set up the next chapter of the Bloodline? Is Jey actually going to defeat Gunther next week? Is he going to the finals against Tama Tonga? Is WWE going to give us Jey, who was originally in the Bloodline, against Tama Tonga, who's in the new Bloodline, led by Solo Sikoa? Is this going to be the next chapter of the Bloodline 2.0? Would WWE use the tournament to give us the next chapter of the Bloodline? I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Do they need to do that? No, I don't. I think it would be a waste of a tournament when you could easily do this outside the tournament. How do we do it outside the tournament? I don't know where Jacob Fatu is showing up, but if I'm WWE, I don't know what the fuck we're waiting on. Jacob Fatu could show up next week and fuck over Jey Uso and hand the match to Gunther as he goes to Saudi. I don't know. I think we could potentially see that. But do we get Jey Uso versus Tama Tonga in the finals to sell the next chapter of this bloodline story. Do we see Jacob Fatu in Saudi? I don't know. I hope WWE doesn't go that route, because if you look at that potential final and then look back at everything, it just feels like they're doing a little bit too much to shove the bloodline in your face. Meanwhile, the tournament should be used to build up somebody else organically, and you have all the resources possible to tell that story outside the tournament. Why do you need to tell that story outside the tournament and then inside the tournament? I don't understand that. That would be illogical booking. That would not be good booking to me. Another thing that I have to bring to everybody's attention, I don't know what's going on with Gunther, if this particular aspect is still in effect. I don't know if Gunther's passport issue or travel issues are resolved. I want everybody to keep that in mind as well, because it was going into the Elimination Chamber where we fantasy booked Gunther wrestling on that show. He didn't make that show. He didn't travel to Australia. He was not in France. Just a week ago, he wasn't in France for Backlash. Now we're talking about Saudi. Is WWE still dealing with Gunther's visa issues? And is that the reason why Jey Uso is going to win the Raw part of the King of the Ring tournament to go to the finals? I don't know. But it has to be brought to everybody's attention, because it affected him being in Australia for the Chamber, and it affected him being in France at Backlash. We may be looking at Jey Uso versus Tama Tonga in the finals for the tournament, just based on that alone. And we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out come next week. We'll know next Monday. If Jay's in the final, I think it's a pretty safe bet that Tama Tonga wins in some form or fashion over Randy Orton on Friday. But the reason why WWE did not do what they did next week, and again, the one huge aspect to it all, may be Gunther's travel issues, his visa problems. It would be a slam dunk to give us Gunther and Dragunov next week. But if that's the case, why even do it when Dragunov was never scheduled to be in the final in Saudi anyway and win the tournament? Why do it? Again, I want you guys to hold on to that to see what happens next week. It may be a situation where it comes down to Gunther's travel issues as to why Dragunov didn't win and why Jey won tonight. Jey goes over Gunther. Jey goes to the finals, and we get Jey wrestling for the King of the Ring. But also at the same time, you know WWE wants to do Dragunov and Gunther. I think Triple H has bigger plans for that match, because you got to remember, Dragunov, he made a name for himself in WWE based on the work he did with Gunther in NXT. This was the guy that ended his near 800-day reign as NXT UK champion. He made his name within this company by the work he did with Gunther. Now Triple H has both of them in the palm of his hands on Raw. I don't think he wants to do the match anyway this early. He wants to save it for a bigger stage. But again, it all comes back to Gunther's visa issues. I don't know if there's still a problem, but the fact that he wasn't in Perth and the fact that he wasn't in Lyon, France, just a week ago, I don't know what WWE's planning to do. That may be the reason why Gunther is not going to Saudi, and may be the reason why Jey Uso beat Dragunov tonight. So we will see what happens. We're going to talk about Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. They're forwarding that feud quite nicely. We are going to talk about the tag team championships. WWE has new number one contenders on Monday Night Raw for the tag team championship. And we will go over what I thought was a very good Monday Night Raw this evening, live from South Carolina. It's So thank you guys very much for joining me on this Monday night. We're going to get right into it. Tomorrow night, episode 2, but really episode 48, episode 2 with the Sala Monster. Tuesday night Titans, get ready. We got a major developing story right now. The NBA on TNT is no more. I feel like we will have a discussion tomorrow. What does this mean for AEW? What does this mean for Warner Brothers Discovery? Jason and I will talk about it tomorrow night on Tuesday Night Titans episode 48. We hope you guys can join us tomorrow. Make sure you got your cold beverage or two ready. It's going to be a good show. Thank you guys for a great month of May so far. I wish it was a little bit busier, man. I want to kick it into the next gear. It's been pretty dead as far as news goes. Not really much going on. But I thank you guys for showing up tonight. We got 2,300 people in here live. Follow me on social media, at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. I've been uploading a little bit more frequently on TikTok and on Instagram with some shorts, giving you guys the daily news update when there is no videos going out here on YouTube. So if you guys want some short and sweet content, really great produced content, go follow the TikTok and go follow the Instagram, man. TikTok is another beast, man. I got to get used to it again. I took several months off, and it was an eye-opening disappointment when some of the videos I put up reached absolutely nobody. I don't know how the TikTok algorithms are now, but I'm going to try my hand at giving you guys some content over there to see if it helps out with what we do here. So go follow the TikTok and go follow the Instagram, man. There should be content up there throughout the week. Hit that subscribe button here on the YouTube channel. We are almost at 160,000 subscribers. So make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. We're about 500 away. Love it. Make sure you guys hit that thumbs up. We got 500 likes. I'm going to need at least 1,000 tonight, minimum. Go check out all the other videos on the channel, plenty of them. And we got the super chats are open. Make sure you guys get in those super chats. Any comments, any questions, any concerns. We will hang out at the end of the show with our cold beverages as always. Get ready for Wednesday's stream. It should be a good one. Jesse and I are already gearing up for what I'm sure is going to be a podcast that angers the AEW audience. And tonight's show is sponsored by my great friends over at Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. You want to be the king of the ring in your own household. I don't know how you're doing it without Blue Chew. BlueChew.com, code JD at checkout. All you have to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com. Want to thank them for once again sponsoring the show right here on OTS. Monday Night Raw started off with my guy, DM Hunk, Drew McIntyre. He's out there and he's in the arena. Punk is not there. He heard Punk's threats last week, and we're starting off hot with DM Punk, or DM Hunk, I should say, not DM Punk. Drew is anything but a punk. Drew's music played. Fans did chant CM Punk at Drew McIntyre. Drew said maybe if they were in Atlanta or Charlotte, Punk would show up, but not in Greenville, South Carolina. He only makes the big towns, brother. He said the greatest trick Punk has pulled is looking like a drug addict without ever taking any drugs. there were several people online who agreed with Drew's statement here about CM Punk. Listen, man, there are people out there that do not like CM Punk no matter where he's working. Just going to be what it's going to be. He said he has made the fans trust him no matter how many times he breaks their trust. All right, now we're kind of leaning into some shoot-level shit here. He ain't wrong. He's not wrong. You keep taking him back. It's like an abusive relationship, he says. Drew says he doesn't like talking to people like they're stupid. But if you're a CM Punk fan, you're stupid. He said Punk called him a coward, but last week he left the arena before Punk got there. He said the week before that, he was in the stage, or on the stage. Punk was in the skybox, and when he went to go find him, Punk was in the ring. He says he's avoiding him. He says he's not going to waste his time on a guy who might not get cleared for 20 years. He said giving Jey Uso his spot in the King of the Ring tournament was bullshit. And he said he'd deal with him a little bit later. But we never got that. He said his top priority is the World Heavyweight Championship. He called Damian Priest a paper champion. He says he's been watching Priest backstage walking around like a big man. Priest, all of a sudden, comes out and interrupts DM Hunk. Priest entered the ring. Said Drew has some serious issues. He told Drew to say something to someone's face. Drew says he'd love to do that with Punk, but he's been avoiding me. Drew told Priest he paid his dues, but that doesn't mean he should be a champion. He says his neighbor Dave has a very inspirational story, but it doesn't mean he should be world champion. Drew said Priest is the case of a title making a man, but the title is new enough, it needs someone of his caliber to establish it. He then told Priest he used the briefcase because he couldn't win an actual match. Priest interrupted and said he's blaming everyone for his own failures. Drew combated that with making fun of the what chance. Say what if you think Damian Priest is a BS champion? And obviously the fan said, what? Drew laughed. The crowd in South Carolina were a bunch of... Priest said, I'm still the champion, though. It doesn't matter what they say. He said, Drew should look in the mirror and blame that asshole. Priest said he wanted to cash in on Rollins, and then they could have gone to war at WrestleMania. He said Drew stopped him from cashing in multiple times. So I do like that they actually called back to that. He tried to cash in. He never wanted to cash in on Drew. Drew left him no choice. I love it. Drew stopped him from cashing in multiple times. He said he actually had an idea for Priest to cash in on him after he beat Seth. Priest said he finally achieved his goal, but he saw Punk, and you made Punk more important than yourself and more important than the championship. He says he could have celebrated with his wife instead, but he made Punk more important than his wife. Priest says if he wants a shot at his title, you got it. Priest stepped up and told Drew to his face that he can call him a paper champion, but when he's done with that, he'll eat those words. He threw the mic down and left the ring. The announce team also said that Drew McIntyre is now obsessed with CM Punk. I thought this was a very good segment. This set up and continued the feud for Punk and McIntyre. We don't know when Punk is going to be ready. We don't know when McIntyre is going to be ready. By all accounts, if McIntyre is getting a championship match against Damian Priest, he may be ready to go by King of the Ring. We may be getting that title match in Saudi. I'm assuming Damian Priest will be defending his world championship there. So we'll see what happens with that. We'll get some clarification on that next week as we have the show from Saturday next Saturday. I like the fact that they called back to Damian Priest trying to cash in his briefcase. But Drew McIntyre did everything he could to put a stop to that. I didn't want to cash in on you. You made it a point for me to bring the briefcase to WrestleMania. And I saw an open slot to slide in because you took your eye off the championship and made Punk more important than the championship. You should have been celebrating with your wife. I had no choice. You drove me to do that. I love it. I thought this was a very effective segment. In some way, McIntyre is always a great promo. But if I was to go and score this on wins and losses, I'm going with McIntyre taking the L in this promo. I'm giving the win to Damian Priest. He just made a lot more sense. Because it all comes back around to that one huge glaring aspect. No matter what Drew McIntyre does, no matter what Drew McIntyre wants, no matter what he says about the world championship and how he thinks it's his, it can't be. It won't be. Because unless he puts that championship as the most important thing in his world, he will never be champion. CM Punk will always be his priority. He's obsessed with beating and ridding WWE of CM Punk. I thought this was a very effective segment. This was a lot better than what he did against Jey Uso. Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest was a lot better for Damian Priest than it was against Jey Uso. Remember that going into France? I do and I don't. This was a very good segment for both guys. Michael Cole commentated over some footage earlier of Damage Control getting in the face of Baszler and Zoe Stark in the parking lot. Cole said there's a lot of history between Shayna and EO that predates their time in WWE, which they did call back to some of their battles in Stardom, which is surprising, but also not surprising because this is a new era. EO with Dakota and Kairi made their way to the ring. Baszler yanked her off the apron and stomped away at her at ringside, and the match did not officially begin. They went right to commercial break. So Shayna wants to win the Queen of the Ring, and she's very hungry tonight. This match went 11 minutes, and I thought both ladies did very good in the opening match. This was one of the better matches that we've seen in the women's side of the tournament. So the match did get started during the commercial break. Baszler was in control. She targeted Io's arm. Io threw Baszler over the top rope and hit a springboard moonsault, leading to another break. Now, this was something that was a little different during this commercial break. WWE, I even laughed to myself and said, who does WWE think they are, the NBA? They did this moonsault spot with Io, springboard moonsault from the apron to the outside. And then they showed a replay of it in instant slow motion. And then they went to a commercial break. It's almost as if I was watching the NBA on TNT and Steph Curry hit a fucking 3-point shot right before they got a commercial break. And they showed the instant replay of him draining the three behind the line. And then we got a commercial break. Very, very sportslike there. I enjoyed it. I like the little subtle change to production. WWE is constantly evolving in the new era with the sports presentation. I like it. Instead of going to a commercial break where you kind of know where they're going to commercial break and Michael Cole, we'll be right back after this break. No, I like it. They did a slow-mo instant replay and then we went to commercial break. It was some good stuff. So we come back from that break. Io hits a springboard dropkick. Running double knee strike to the back for a two count on Shayna. Baszler tried to get her knees up on a moonsault, but Io saw it coming. She kicked Baszler, tried to cradle Baszler, but Baszler reversed into a Kira Fuda clutch. Io reversed that into a crossface. Shayna fought out of it, hit a running knee strike for a two. Baszler went for another knee strike, but Sky hit a dragon screw. Meteora in the corner, right to the face. And then up top with the over-the-moonsault for the 1-2-3. Io Sky advances to next week. She's in the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament, which is the Raw side of the finals before the final in Saudi. And I think we all kind of predicted that she would be there. It only made sense for her to be there. Now she goes one-on-one with either Lyra Valkyria or... who's the other one? It's Lyra. She beat Zoe. It's Lyra Valkyrie. It's Lyra and Io now, next week. She would get the winner of Lyra and Zoe, which Lyra won, and now it's Lyra versus Io for the Queen of the Ring semifinal. Should be a great match. And it's going to be a good test to see what Lyra can do on the main roster and how she could command a crowd against someone who's very over in Io. Looking forward to it. Jackie Redmond interviewed Io after the match. I don't know what she said. She sounded very angry as she spoke in Japanese. And then she left the ring. Don't know what she said. But she did say that she will end up winning the tournament and she will be queen. She will be queen. Carlito, he was hanging out with Dominic Mysterio and JD Spicy McCrispy. Gotta keep up on the new things that they're adding to the McDonald's menu. JD Spicy McCrispy and Finn Balor. They were going back and forth over a game of darts. This is what they do on Monday night. They're getting paid to play darts in the Judgment Day hangout. Must be nice. Damian Priest walked in. Dominic said it'd be a good time to now work with Carlito. Carlito says Rey Mysterio is selfish, but no one knows that more than Dominic. Carlito said with Dom injured and Rhea out, the Judgment Day could use the extra muscle. Priest said, well, you know, that sounds good and all. If you want to work with these guys and they allow it and they trust you, fine. You can, but you're not welcome, as far as I'm concerned, in this clubhouse. Carlito then said, the most stubborn minds can change, and one day, they can all be amigos. He ended up leaving the Judgment Day hangout because Damian Priest didn't want him there. You know, I find it funny how they drafted Carlito with the LWO instead of drafting Carlito on his own. Carlito and the rest of the LWO came over to Monday Night Raw, and I believe Dragon Lee stayed on SmackDown. Can someone check that for me in the chat? Is Dragon Lee a part of the LWO, and did he get drafted to Raw, or did he actually end up staying on SmackDown, which I don't really know why that creative move was made. You got a built-in match there with Carlito and Dragon Lee. But I guess they're going to go Carlito and Rey Mysterio. So Dragon Lee gets left out in the dust. He was an honorary member of the LWO, I'm assuming. Not really a full-fledged member, just an honorary oos. Kind of stupid. Dragon Lee got drafted to Raw? I didn't see him there. J.D. Oreo McFlurry, huh? We haven't seen Dragon Lee on Raw. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. No Dragon Lee, no Dijak yet. Where are they? What about Odyssey Jones? Remember him? Yes, Dragon Lee should be on television. He was drafted with the LWO. I don't know. I saw a graphic. I didn't see him there. Maybe I'm fucking blind. I have no idea. But they're obviously continuing the Carlito and LWO feud as Judgment Day is going to be backing Carlito. Chad Gable. He was backstage. He was with the Alpha Academy. He was scolding Maxxine Dupri, Otis, and Tozawa. He looked at Dupri and said that she let the Alpha Academy down over the weekend by losing her Queen of the Ring match. Poor baby. She wrestled Shayna Baszler. She lost. God forbid Maxine Dupri advanced in the Queen of the Ring tournament. He said it's pathetic and she learned nothing from him. He said he talked to Adam Pearce and got Otis a match against Sami Zayn and got a match for Tozawa against Bronson Reed. Then he says, no. Otis is my number one guy and I need him focused and not doing dancing so we can soften up Sami for him at King of the Ring in Saudi. He then told Tozawa not to blow it against Bronson Reed. He told him, I swear to God, if I see you doing that dance, it's going to be a problem. Dupri looked sad as Chad Gable was scolding everybody in the Alpha Academy. Ivy Nile walked up to Maxine and said she could have helped train and prepare her for her Queen of the Ring match against Shayna Baszler over the weekend. Why didn't you get me? Dupri said Gable doesn't want her training with anyone else. Ivy Nile told Dupri she doesn't need to put up with Gable treating her so badly. Gable then comes back and starts yelling at Maxine again and tells her to go train. Gable told Ivy Nile, stop wasting your time with Taylor, not so Swift, meaning Maxine. I'm telling you, man. Heel Gable is going to be a thing of beauty on Monday night. Love it. Now we just need to get him a new academy. Not these bums. I love Otis, though. I genuinely feel bad for Otis. We'll talk about what Gable did to Otis later on in the show, man. Not really a fan of them disrespecting Otis. I don't know how anybody could genuinely dislike Otis. Jackie Redman interviewed Kofi Kingston with Xavier Woods. She framed him as a huge underdog, which he is. I think everybody is a huge underdog against Gunther. Kofi says he's done the unthinkable before. He said there's no room for self-doubt or failure. Xavier Woods then said, everyone knows how dangerous Gunther is, but King of the Ring brings honor. He said because of Gunther, he can't defend that honor, meaning that he was the King of the Ring last time they held the tournament, and Gunther injured him from competing in this year's tournament. But Kofi is going to show everyone why New Day rocks. The New Day, you know, the over-the-top, cereal-eating, gyrating, sexual innuendos of the New Day have kind of calmed down lately. And I like it. It's the King of the Ring. There's no time for jokes. There's no time for fucking dancing and games and funniness. You're in a match with Gunther. You got to win the fucking tournament. You got to take this shit seriously. So I like the fact that maybe we're seeing WWE kind of toned down the New Day with all the shit that they do when it matters. I like that. So the overabundance of cringe that they usually project to us via their promos has been lessened because this is an important match and this is an important tournament. I like it. Just a little thing that you got to keep notice of. Samantha Irvin. We see a shot of her in the ring, and she introduced Lillian Garcia. So Lillian was back on Monday night. She asked Lillian if she wanted to announce the next King of the Ring match. Garcia said she would absolutely love to, and then she said that Samantha is doing a wonderful job and that she's proud of her, and they hugged and embraced. You know, the one thing that you are slowly seeing in this new era is that they are making sure you know who the company is firmly behind. That much is very well apparent. Everybody loves Samantha. I mean, if you don't love Samantha, I think you're a fucking problem or you have a problem. I think Samantha does a great job at what she does. But the fact that WWE brought Lillian Garcia to Monday Night Raw, and Lillian was at one point the ring announcer for WWE. She was the voice of Monday Night Raw. WWE has not had another female voice ring announcer They had JoJo Offerman, but JoJo was only there for a little bit. She was very good at what she did as well. But Lillian was the last one that actually made a huge difference. And WWE brought her tonight, in my opinion, to do this spot as a passing of the torch to Samantha Irvin. And WWE is firmly behind Samantha Irvin. And WWE is now at the ring announcer position, all female. WWE's got Samantha Irvin on Monday night, and now they have Alicia Taylor on SmackDown. She was the ring announcer on NXT. So she got promoted to SmackDown on Friday night. So WWE now has two lead female ring announcers on the main roster. Mike Rome got moved back down to NXT. And Mike Rome does a very good job in his own right. But I thought this was a passing of the torch moment, for sure. So she introduced the next match, which was Kofi Kingston and Gunther. And we'll get to that in a second. But before we got to that match, we saw a backstage segment with R-Truth and Miz. They were chatting it up with Adam Pearce, the commissioner or the GM of Monday Night Raw. Miz walked in and asked Truth to talk to him before suggesting ideas for their title defense to Adam Pearce. Pearce told Miz, "They're not defending the tag team titles tonight. Don't worry. But we came up with an idea to figure out who your next opponents will be." Kiana James walked in and kissed Adam Pearce's ass. Not literally, but was sucking up to Adam Pearce. Pearce was impressed with the vocabulary and the business acumen of Kiana James. Truth was confused by her vocabulary and said he's not even sure what she said was even PG. Adam Pearce was so flustered with R-Truth and his stupidity, he took off his glasses, and I know in that moment he needed a fucking cocktail. "Come to the venue, Adam Pearce. We'll make you a cocktail." Michael Cole then called Truth a national treasure. Kofi Kingston and Gunther. King of the Ring quarterfinal match. This one got plenty of time. 14 minutes. I think this was pretty academic as to who was going to win this match. Kofi Kingston needed to do something to get ahead. He needed something to kind of jolt Gunther, shock Gunther. And he did that by attacking Gunther before the match. The bell hadn't even rung yet, and he went right after the legs of Gunther. Kingston drove Gunther's leg into the ring post. He got it stuck and tied it up in the ropes, and then he drop-kicked it into the rope. So he was working on the legs of Gunther. So Gunther was down. He was favoring his leg. The referee thought this was a good time to start the match. You know, Gunther is down, and he didn't even give him a chance to get up. Kingston hit a diving leg drop off the second rope for a two count. So, you know, the referee was being very lenient to Kofi Kingston. Kingston tried for a suicide dive on the outside. Gunther caught him and gave Kingston a fucking beating on the outside. He dropped him back first onto the barricade and then again onto the announce table. He then applied a Boston Crab on the announce table, and we went to a commercial break. So Gunther, like a fucking savage, he just kind of blew off Kofi Kingston's attempts to injure the leg. So Gunther, through the commercial break, was in control. We come back, he's still in control. Kingston started going after his leg again. Gunther blocked an SOS, but Kofi Kingston hits a flying crossbody. Gunther applied a Boston Crab again, but Kingston slipped out. This time he does hit the SOS and goes for recovery. He gets a two count. Gunther drop kicked Kingston's back and then turned him inside out with a clothesline. He goes for recovery, got a two count. Gunther wrapped Kingston around the ring post, stretched him out. Kingston blocked a power bomb moments later and flung Gunther into the ring post. Kingston followed up with Trouble in Paradise outside the ring, and Gunther was not, or looking like, he was not going to make the referee's 10 count. He got back in at a 9.5. He breaks the referee's 10 count. Gunther in the ring now. He avoided a trouble in paradise and hits a powerbomb on Kofi. Kingston kicked out. Gunther immediately transitioned into the Boston Crab. And that was it for Kofi. Goodbye. Gunther is going to the finals or the semifinals next week on Monday Night Raw as Kofi Kingston taps out. Crowd was into it. Match was good. It was pretty predictable. I don't think anybody had Kofi Kingston penciled in to win this match. They got a decent amount of time for a quarterfinal match. I like it. They told a story. They told two stories here. They told the story of Kofi feeling desperate. He needed to do something to try and win this match. He targeted Gunther's leg. They made that the story of the match. But in the end, it was Gunther being too much for Kofi. So he could not overpower Gunther. Gunther ended up tapping him out. He goes on to next week to wrestle the winner of Jey Uso and Ilya Dragunov. I thought the match was very good. And Gunther is now one step closer to the finals of the King of the Ring tournament. Jackie Redmond. She interviewed Lyra Valkyria. She has a match coming up against Zoe Stark. Lyra said she'd always be there for Becky because she showed up and saved Becky from damage control last week. Becky walked up to her, thanked her, and then left. Lyra began talking about tonight's match against Zoe. All of a sudden, Liv Morgan walks up and interrupts Lyra's promo. She asked Lyra if Becky has always been such a bitch. So Becky comes up from behind and stands behind Liv Morgan. And Lyra's looking at Liv and says, well, why don't you ask Becky yourself? So Liv turns around, sees Becky standing there. Becky punched her in the face, and it was the most awkward-looking punch I think I've seen all year. It was almost as if Becky hesitated mid-punch, stopped, and then regained force to complete the punch. It's almost as if she didn't want to punch Liv Morgan. I don't know why in this moment you just don't slap the bitch right across the face. I guess Becky's too big or too good for slapping a bitch right across the face. So Becky punched her very awkwardly and then called her a bitch as she laid there on the ground selling the punch and said Liv is scared of a face-to-face fight. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Is Liv Morgan scared? I don't know. She's too busy hanging out with Dominic Mysterio and handkerchiefs hanging out of her fucking ring gear. You didn't think I saw that one, huh? Last week, there was a photo of Liv Morgan photographing herself with a little teeny piece of Dominic's handkerchief, scarf, whatever you want to call it, hanging out from her pocket. What is she doing with Dominic's handkerchief? She's suffering from a cold? She needed something to blow her nose? She blowing something else? I don't know. We got to get the answers here. Lucky Dom, I guess, huh? Good for him. In some circles, people think he's upgraded from Mommy. Again, a very difficult choice, man. What do you do if you're Dominic? Best of both worlds, maybe? I don't know. Jim Myers says, that was a punch? LOL. Now, I don't know what the fuck it was. Maybe she's taking punching lessons from Shane McMahon. I have no idea. Karrion Kross, he's in the back. Kofi Kingston's walking through the backstage area, limping backstage, selling the effects of the match with Gunther. He told Kofi it was a tough loss, but there's always time to turn things around, he says. So Xavier brought Kofi some ice to ice his wounds. He asked what Karrion Kross wanted. Kofi says, I'm not sure what he wanted. Are we seeing the New Day now versus the Final Testament? I guess they need something to do, right? Who knows? Bronson Reed. He went one-on-one with Akira Tozawa. This was basically a squash match. We got a Death Valley driver. Tozawa flipped off the top rope. Bronson caught him, turned it into a DVD. He followed up with a tsunami off the top. Nobody's kicking out of that. I can tell you right now, nobody's kicking out of that. Bronson Reed wins in about 1 minute. And he defeats Akira Tozawa. So Chad Gable is hugely disappointed. I don't know what the fuck he expected. So at the end of this thing, Chad Gable was yelling at Tozawa, basically, in so many words, calling him a loser and a failure, and how he couldn't beat Bronson Reed. I don't know what he expected, but everybody expected the outcome that we got. 1 minute. That's all Tozawa's worth. Literally a squash match, yes. Literally a squash. Because that's what Bronson Reed does to everybody on the receiving end of a tsunami. I know you couldn't pay me to take that fucking move. Holy shit. Kathy Kelly. She approached Ludwig Kaiser. He's in the back with Gunther. Kaiser scolded her for not giving Gunther more space after his grueling victory over Kofi Kingston. Kathy Kelly said Gunther used some underhanded tactics, including last time he faced Dragunov. She said he used underhanded tactics against Sheamus. Kaiser was there praising Gunther, sung his praises, and said he doesn't have anything to prove to anybody around here. He's the ring general. He said if Sheamus felt he lost because of him last week, he must be delusional. He says he's had a legendary career, but he's never beat Gunther. And it won't ever happen. He said if Sheamus has any issues with him, he will put him out of his misery and expose him in front of the entire world. We're done here. As he tried to calm himself down after getting very animated during this promo with Kathy Kelly. How do you have a promo with Kathy Kelly and you're getting this animated? Come on, man. Kaiser, what are you doing, bro? So it looks like we're continuing the Sheamus feud against Imperium. Kaiser's calling out Sheamus. I don't know where Sheamus fits into all this, but at some point, I do believe he's going to get involved in the Intercontinental Championship title picture. We just need the clearer picture to reveal itself. Will it be Bronson Reed? Will it be Chad Gable? Will it be Sami Zayn? Maybe Kaiser wins the Intercontinental title. I don't know. Maybe. But it looks like we're getting Sheamus and Kaiser at some point. Another piece to the overall progression of story. So basically, mostly everything that I've talked about up until this point has made some sort of sense. They're going in a direction. So through 2 hours, WWE filled a lot of the TV time tonight with shit that mattered. I like it. Jackie Redmond interviewed Adam Pearce backstage about the tag team announcement he has to find number one contenders. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate interrupted Adam Pearce and thanked him for the opportunity. Pearce said the draft is behind them and they need number one contenders for the tag team titles. He said he booked a fatal four-way later. Jackie Redmond said she loved it and an opportunity is in the air. She then asked why Bron Breakker wasn't in the King of the Ring tournament. Pierce said the guns on the Raw side of the bracket earned their spots, and he didn't want to throw Breakker into the deep end of the pool. So Bron Breakker walks in and said his opponents would have been in the deep end, and he would have had drugged them under the water or dragged them under the water and watch them drown with a smile. I should have been in the tournament, he said. I don't know what they're doing with Bron Breakker. I don't. I made a recommendation on TNT with Solomonster last Tuesday. I don't know where we go with Bron Breakker. I think the way the Intercontinental Championship title picture is unfolding. I think Bron Breakker is someone that eventually could factor into that, but in this current time, I don't think so. I don't know who he feuds with. I don't know where he starts. All I know is I want to see Bron Breakker wrestle. I'm tired of seeing squash matches. I'm tired of seeing a spear and then 1, 2, 3. I think we could do more with Bron Breakker, honestly. So what I recommended they do is Baron Corbin's probably going to be worthless on SmackDown. He's going to be completely directionless. Even though Baron Corbin had a very good match against Carmelo Hayes on Friday, I thought Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin were a great tag team. I don't know why they split them up, but Corbin showed you exactly what he learned working with Breakker and working in NXT. He had a great match on Friday night. I thought he looked better than Carmelo, honestly, in the ring. And Carmelo's great, too. But I would, this is the first thing that I would do, man. As far as trades, I'd trade someone from Raw to SmackDown and bring Corbin over to Raw via a trade. That's what I would do. Who that is, I don't know. WWE's got to figure that out. I would bring Baron Corbin over to Raw in a trade, and I would put the Wolf Dogs back together. And I would put the Wolf Dogs in the tag team division, and I would have them as the new tag team champions, and I would have them run that tag team division for a little bit. That's what I would do. They got over organically. They fit. They worked. They gelled. I don't know why we're not continuing that. I felt like, you ever get a feeling that you kind of know when something needs to end? I paid attention to what they were doing in NXT, and I felt that it wasn't near the end yet. It was only at the end because WWE was ready to call Bron Breakker up. But I don't know why it couldn't continue on the main roster if you were going to call up both of them anyway. If he's not going to factor into a major program, I would put him back with Bron Breakker and team him up with Bron again and the Wolf Dogs. Baron Corbin. That's what I would do. Jey Uso would be a logical trade. Jey Uso would absolutely be a logical trade. Yes. Maybe they're waiting for that. Maybe we'll get Jacob Fatu to be the catalyst for that. Being that the Bloodline's over on SmackDown, Jacob Fatu's going to end up joining them. Maybe Jey wants back over there because he's got to join his brother. Trade. I like it. Maybe that is what they're waiting for. We'll see what happens. Zoe Stark versus Lyra Valkyria, Queen of the Ring, quarterfinal match. Now, I think Zoe's very good. She's a very good worker. She gets no reaction. And she doesn't really have any real character or charisma. But am I the only one that, when I watch Zoe Stark wrestles, when I watch Zoe Stark wrestle, when she wrestles, does it feel like she doesn't want to be there to you guys? I don't know if it's just her character, work, her facial expressions, or whatever the character is that she's portraying. Her facial expression, she just comes off as if she doesn't want to be there. It's almost as if she knows she's not advancing in this tournament and she's got to put over Lyra. Maybe it's me. I don't know. There's no way she was winning this match anyway. I don't know why anybody thought that Lyra was losing this thing. They went to a break early. Lyra, she was on the defensive. Zoe was in control when they came back. Lyra spiked Zoe with a tornado DDT. Back and forth counters until Stark hit a reverse suplex for two. Lyra hit a spinning heel kick, but Zoe suplexed her into the turnbuckle for a two count. Lyra blocked a Z360, hit her Nightwing finish, which is basically, I don't know, it's like, I wouldn't call it a one-winged angel. It's almost like a Michinoku driver almost. A reverse Michinoku driver. for 1-2-3. The Nightwing for the 1-2-3. She advances to the finals or the semifinals here on Monday Night Raw. She wrestles Io Sky next week on Monday Night Raw. Jackie Redmond interviewed Lyra in the ring after the match was over. Jackie said she's making quite the first impression here on Monday night. Lyra says she is confident, and she's a former NXT Women's Champion who only travels as the crow flies straight to the top. Great. They went backstage. Jay was applauding. I don't know who he was applauding. Maybe he was applauding Lyra for a great match. I don't know. He says they got Balor last week. He yeeted Balor. And now Dragunov is up next. He's going to yeet Dragunov. He says he's going to win the King of the Ring tournament. Yeet. Sami Zayn. He went one-on-one with Otis. Chad Gable on the outside in Otis's corner. Otis knocked Sammy down at the start, elbowed him right to the midsection, and at this point, I lost my notes here. So Otis was going for the caterpillar. Gable stood on the ring apron and told Otis not to do the caterpillar. Well, he told Tozawa to not do his stupid dance. He wanted him to take the match with Bronson Reed seriously. He lost. Now he's doing the same thing to Otis. Told him not to do his signature caterpillar because he wants to take this match seriously against Sami Zayn. He wanted Otis to soften Sami Zayn up for him so he could have an easier time in the triple threat match at King of the Ring. Otis wasn't happy with Chad Gable ordering this. No caterpillar. Otis did the caterpillar and then dropped the elbow, so he did not listen. Chad Gable ended up getting very angry on the ring apron. Sammy recovered enough. He avoided a swing splash out of the corner. Sammy then hit Otis, who was stunned in the corner after missing the splash with the Helluva kick. 1-2-3, and Sami Zayn beats Otis in 2 minutes. So at the end of this thing, Gable was yelling at Otis, shoved him. Sammy sees this from the aisleway, runs back into the ring, grabs Gable, gives him a exploder suplex into the corner, drops Gable right on his head. Gable then avoids the Helluva kick. Otis ran over to help Gable up. Gable blamed Otis for everything that happened. Otis said, "What did I do wrong?" And then Gable slapped Otis right across the face. People booed. Everybody looked sad. Otis looked sad. Gable walked away. He turned, did Otis, looking down, dejected, sad. That is, mentor slapped him right across the face. Fans were chanting, "Otis, Otis." I don't know what's going to happen in Saudi, but I don't think Chad Gable is walking away with the Intercontinental title. Not yet. We may be looking at Sammy retaining or Bronson Reed winning the title. I could see Sammy retaining the championship due to outside interference from the old Alpha Academy members, while Gable then recruits a new Alpha Academy with the Creeds. Maybe. But this was clearly forwarding to what happens next. Clearly, you see the dissension and the breakup looming with Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine breaking them up away from Gable. Braun Strowman. There was no Strowman Express tonight, so I will not be doing the Strowman Express. Strowman wished the Creeds. I wonder if this was coincidence that Gable was in the last segment and then we go to the next segment with the Creeds. I don't know. Strowman was talking to the Creeds backstage, wished them luck in the tag team number one contender Fatal 4-Way later. He says it's been fun watching them earn a reputation. He complimented Ivy Nile's biceps and said, ha-ha, she's going to have bigger biceps than me. J.D. Oreo McFlurry walks up to Braun Strowman. He's looking right up at Braun Strowman. He asked him, what flavor dipping sauce do you prefer with your McNuggets? No, he did not. I'm only joking. J.D. McCafe walked up to Strowman and warned him to stay out of Judgment Day business. Braun Strowman was like, oh, yeah? Laughing at this guy, mocking him. You believe this guy? This guy coming up to me, man. I don't believe it. The fuck is J.D. McChicken Nuggets going to do to Braun Strowman, man? Holy shit. Braun Strowman's going to pound this guy into the fucking ground. He's going to dip him like a fucking nugget in some sweet and sour sauce. Dakota Kai. She went one-on-one with Becky Lynch. Becky Hogan. 10 minutes. Pretty bored by this. I'm bored with Becky Lynch as champion already. I'm bored as to where they're going with this. This was probably the low point of the entire show, honestly. So, Dakota was in control early. A little distraction there by damage control. Becky Lynch fights back. Kai missed a running boot in the corner. Lynch followed with a thrust kick. Go to commercial break. Dakota stomped Becky Lynch as she was draped over the middle rope. Lynch avoided a second attempt at an attack here and hits a diving leg across Dakota Kai as she was then draped over the middle rope. Becky Lynch hit a superplex, transitioned into an armbar. Dakota Kai tried for a few counters. Becky Lynch applied a disarmer. Sky and Kairi Sane attack Becky Lynch, and we get a disqualification. Lame. Damage control attack Becky Lynch. Lyra Valkyria ran out to make the save. With their backs turned as they're fighting off damage control, Liv Morgan jumps in from behind Becky and tossed her into the ring post. Liv Morgan quickly bails as Lyra checked on Becky Lynch. And Liv Morgan and Becky Lynch continue their feud for the Women's Championship. I can't wait for Rhea Ripley to get back and take her fucking title back, to be honest with you. Becky is not working as champion, so much so that you are basically begging me to see Liv Morgan as champion. Because right now, it's the only thing that makes sense. This was lame. I mean, is there anybody out there that is genuinely interested in them retelling the same story with Damage Control and Becky Lynch, now that she doesn't have SmackDown behind her and Bianca, right? Now it's Lyra. Fucking lame. Nobody's interested in this at all. Jackie Redmond. She interviewed Ilya Dragunov backstage. She asked him about facing Jey Uso. He said, some people say it's a dream to be in this moment, but for him, it's not enough to just be there. He says he needs to make an impact night in and night out, and he will become czar of the ring. He says he will bring the same fight he brought to Ricochet to Jey tonight. He says he's a different kind of venom and a different kind of dragon. I beat Gunther. He says they have a long history, and that is not over yet. Gunther walked up to him, stared at him, smiled at him, and basically WWE cock-teased us with this match potentially happening, only to not deliver said match. We'll get it when we're ready. I like Dragunov's promo. He's very intense. Still rough around the edges, but very intense. Number one contendership, Fatal 4-Way. Gonna need WWE to have a better vision and a better plan for the tag team division. How many times can we do a Fatal 4-Way match to crown number one contenders? Let's throw everybody in there and pretend like we have a plan for the tag team titles. It's every other fucking month with a fatal four-way. Like, can we actually get tag team matches with teams getting wins? And then maybe solidifying themselves as top challengers and top contenders through winning matches against other teams? Maybe? Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne versus the Creeds versus Finn Balor and J.D. McFlurry and AOP, Akam and Rezar. Miz and R-Truth came to the ring and everybody got their ring introductions. AOP was in control. We go right to commercial break. He threw J.D. McDouble into the ringside barricade, or they threw J.D. McDouble into the ringside barricade right before the commercial break. So, with AOP in control, Julius, we come back from break, tagged in. He gave Finn and J.D. McNuggets a double Northern Lights suplex. Balor came back with a sling blade and then a running dropkick. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate wiped out Authors of Pain with dives. Julius ran up the ropes and hit Balor with a beautiful-looking superplex for two. Creeds are great. They just need a mouthpiece and some attitude and some direction. Authors of Pain powerbombed Balor and J.D. McRib before chucking Dunne and Bate from the ring. Brutus then suplexed Akam and then wiped out Rezar. Dunne and Julius with a Brutus ball. So he suplexed Akam and then wiped out his own tag team partner, Pete Dunne and Julius with a Brutus ball to the outside. Dunne gave Akam an airplane spin, which was impressive because Akam's a big guy, but Tyler Bate is a strong boy. So he got the airplane spin on. Crowd popped for it. Dunne and Bate gave Balor a double-team suplex, but McRib broke up the cover. Tyler Bate wiped him out with a dive. Dunne then went after Spicy McCrispy on the table, but was attacked from behind by Carlito. Cool. Carlito gave Dunne a backstabber on the announce table. It looked like he wiped himself out worse than he did Pete Dunne. I don't know why they even did it. Can someone explain to me how this move affected Pete Dunne more than it did Carlito? Fucking dumb. Maybe they spin it in a way that he sacrificed himself to become a Judgment Day member. But the looks of it, the optics of it, look stupid. So J.D. McNuggets with a side of barbecue sauce headbutted Bate and tossed Pete Dunne from the ring. Finn Balor hit Dunne with a coup de grace. And J.D., Spicy McCrispy, and Finn Balor are the number one contenders for the tag team championships. They're getting R-Truth and Miz. When? I don't know. It may be taking place at the pay-per-view. I don't know. Crazy match, but I'm over finding number one contenders through multi-man chaos. Let's get some tag teams against other tag teams in traditional tag team matches and then finding contenders through wins. I think that's a sound strategy. But they can't do that because if they do, they'll blow through all the matches in about 2 months. This is why I said it's not a real division if there are only five teams in the division. Wolf Dogs need to be back together. Ricochet. He approached Dragunov. Dragunov was warming up for his main event match against Jey Uso. Says he respects Dragunov. And that was a hell of a fight last week. He said the result will be different if they meet again. He then wished Dragunov luck on winning King of the Ring. What a classy guy that Ricochet is, man, huh? Backstage, Damian Priest asks Dominic if he is good. Balor and JD McBiscuit with Carlito Cool walked in. Priest stared at him. Carlito says he's not wanted. I get it. I'll leave. Priest stops him, says, Carlito, what you did out there, that was cool. Priest asks if he's going to handle his business with Rey Mysterio because Judgment Day doesn't roll with cowards. He told him not to let my boys down. Carlito said, ain't nobody scared of Rey. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Jey Uso, one-on-one with Ilya Dragunov. Main event tonight, semifinal match. Winner gets Gunther. Next week on Monday Night Raw. I had Dragunov winning this match. I think a lot of people had Dragunov winning this match. That was not the case. They went 13 minutes. Crowd enjoyed it for the most part. They were into it. Jey Uso got the entrance. It wasn't Leon France, but everybody had their flashlights up. Doing the Uso. Doing the yeet. WWE wants to mimic what they did in France at Backlash here in the United States. So they are going to, from this point forward, dim the lights for Jey Uso. It's not going to be special next time we see that when we go to France, but WWE's like, hey, man, you guys had a great idea. We're going to steal it, and maybe we won't see ever again. Thanks for coming, though. Thanks for spending $500 per ticket, and we're going to steal your gimmick. It's great. I'm sure it'll get over here. It was over this week a lot more than it was last week, so I'm assuming it's only going to be ever-growing here in the United States. Jey knocked Dragunov off the top, hits a suicide dive, sends both he and Dragunov into the announce table. This started early. Dragunov came back with a big boot, cleared the table. He tried for an H-bomb off the barricade. The H-bomb is a diving elbow drop or forearm strike. Tried this off the barricade, but Jey moved and he missed. So he H-bombed the table instead. And Jey speared him over the announce table, and we go to a commercial break. So we come back from break. Jey is striking Dragunov. Crowd is chanting, yeet, with every strike. Dragunov cut him off. Big boot. German suplexes. Jey blocked a third German suplex. Dragunov comes back, counters Jey Uso with an enziguri, and then a clothesline. He goes for recovery, gets a two count. Crowd chanting, let's go, Uso. Dragunov chopped Jey in the corner. Runs, gets a full head of steam. Running, big boot. Jey comes back with two super kicks. He goes for another cover. He gets a two count. Dragunov then blocked the spear, hits a running knee, and then delivers a power bomb. Dragunov hits the H-bomb after the power bomb, but he was in too much pain to make a good cover. So it was a lackadaisical cover off of his finish, and Jey Uso kicked out. So Dragunov didn't make the full cover. After the H-bomb, he usually covers his entire body over his opponents. He did not do that here. So Jey kicked out. Dragunov went for another H-bomb. Jey speared him. Quickly, he runs up top, hits the Uso splash, and for a split second, I thought McIntyre would come out and fuck him over. I thought somebody would come out and fuck Jey over, shove him off the top rope. But we didn't see none of that. No shenanigans here. So after the spear, he runs right up top, off the top rope with an Uso splash, and he got the 1-2-3. Jey Uso, in my honest opinion, an upset over Ilya Dragunov, shocks everybody, beats Dragunov, crowd pops, he gets Gunther next week for the King of the Ring semifinal. And speaking of which, Gunther came out to the ring and had a stare down with Jey. That ended the show with Jey basically pointing at him. It's going to be me and you again next week, again. And I'm going to be king. Yeet. I thought this was a very good match. Again, I felt like Ilya could have won. We could have got Ilya and Gunther. But there are a couple of things that maybe stopped WWE from doing that match, which honestly, you look at it on paper, it's a slam dunk. WWE might not be ready to give us that match. Maybe they're saving it for a bigger show. Maybe they're saving that match to be a little bit more of an important situation. Gunther, I don't know if he's actually going to win next week. And the reason why I say that, it's because, not because of Jey Uso being over or Jey being better or Jey fitting the story better. I just don't know if Gunther is going to win because he's not made any international shows. Or maybe he has. Wasn't he in Vienna? So maybe that's not even the case. He did make the last international tour, didn't he? I believe he was in, they were in Germany. I think they went to Vienna. They went to Italy. Maybe he did make those shows. Maybe what I said earlier has no bearing on what happens next week. I don't. Gunther could win. And then he'll meet Randy Orton in the final. So I don't know. I would not be surprised if they give it to Jey Uso next week. Because Gunther beat Jey Uso last time they won the ring, and that was for the Intercontinental Championship. Maybe they give Jey Uso the win over Gunther. But again, I can't see them willingly beating Gunther two times within the same year, honestly. It's not in their DNA. He lost at WrestleMania in the beginning of April. I can't see them beating Gunther again. Gunther Randy Orton is my prediction. But if they do Jey Uso next week, Tama Tonga is absolutely advancing over Randy Orton, and then we're getting the bloodline. But maybe WWE speeds things up. My prediction, if WWE wants to go out with a go-home show that's going to really make an impact, I don't know why we're waiting for Jacob Fatu to debut in Saudi. If I'm booking this thing, I'm debuting Jacob Fatu next week on Raw. I'm having Gunther and Jey Uso end with interference from Jacob Fatu, having Gunther go over, having Gunther and Randy Orton in the final. I'm getting that trade that everybody mentioned. Jey traded over to SmackDown. I'm getting Baron Corbin coming over to Raw, getting the Wolf Dogs back together. And I'm getting Jey over there to start his storyline with the Bloodline. Because it will be at this point now that Jey got fucked out of the Universal Championship. He had gotten fucked out of the tag team titles when he was tag team champion with Cody. He got fucked out of the Intercontinental Championship. He got fucked out of the World Championship. And now he's going to be fucked out of King of the Ring. All because of his family. It makes sense. In every aspect of Jey trying to win a major accolade or title in this company, his family was there to fuck it up. That's my prediction for next week. I could be wrong. More than likely, I am. But it gives us a direction. And it gets us Gunther in the final, where he will then beat Randy Orton. And Gunther will be king. And Gunther will cash in whenever he sees fit. They really haven't determined that. Is it at Clash of the Castle? Is it at SummerSlam? Is it going to be a gimmick where he can cash it in at any time he wants? We don't know. We don't know when he has to cash it in. But I think we have a solid understanding that whoever wins this thing is the number one contender for any world championship that they want. WWE had Dragunov and Gunther right there. I think they held off on it because they have bigger plans for both. It is a mega match. And they want to build Dragunov up a little bit before they give that match away. They could have did it tonight, and they could have made a superstar out of Dragunov, but Triple H is going to trust the process with Dragunov getting over. He did it in NXT. No reason why he can't do it on the main roster. Gunther, Jey will result in Gunther going to Saudi and winning King of the Ring. That's my prediction. Thank you guys very much for all your support. I really appreciate you hanging out tonight on the Raw Post Show with 2,400 people in here this evening. Thank you guys very, very, very much. I believe we are number one tonight. Let me check the stats. Let me check the analytics. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Thank you guys very much for all of your support here on Monday nights, right here on OTS. We're going to get into the Super Chats in just a second. Please make sure you guys follow me on social media. At JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Make sure you guys go check out all the other content on the channel. Plenty of it. I will be live with the Sala Monster tomorrow night. TNT episode 48. Should be a good one. Hit that thumbs up. We got 733 likes. I'd love to get as close to 1,000 likes as possible. And please hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. We are about 500 or so away from 160,000 subscribers. Thank you guys very much. Let's get into these Super Chats. Michael Krause with a $2 Super Chat. Good Monday, JD and OTS family. How was your weekend, bro? Boring. Hopefully you guys enjoyed Mother's Day. Sidro with a $5 Super Chat question. Why did Sheamus break up with his last girlfriend? A, because he was too many lies, she told too many lies. I like that one, Sidro. That was a good one. Why did Sheamus break up with his last girlfriend? Because she told too many lies. Ha ha. Keith Hobson with 1 month. Keith, thank you, brother. And a $20 Super Chat. Welcome. Can't wait for you and Solomon Monster to talk about TNT losing the NBA. OTS for life. That'll be tomorrow, brother. That will be tomorrow. Tony Brown. How are you, young goat? With a $4.99. Tony, I'm doing all right, man. May's been a little hazy, honestly. A little tough mentally. It's a bad mental month. Trying, though. MGM Ballin' with a 30 months. They pinned Ilya for the entrance. I love Jay, but what are we doing here, man? Anyways, 30 months down, never going anywhere. OTS forever. Thank you, MGM. You may be right. I think it's a little bit more than that. I think they didn't want to give that match away on a random Raw in North Carolina. Justin with the 21 months. 21 months and getting very close to the golden microphone. I'm shocked Jay won tonight, but he's not beating Gunther. If he does, then I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say either, man. I don't think he's beating Gunther next week. It would be ridiculous. I think some bullshit's going to happen next week. Hiru with a $5 Super Chat. I'm fine with Jay winning tonight. Gunther and Dragunov should be on the big stage, not on Raw, where greatness would be interrupted by commercials. I like the way you think, Hiru. I like it. Bearded Beast with a $10 Super Chat. JD, keep up the banger shows. I enjoy listening to you while I'm working the night shift. Good to be a part of the OTS family. Bearded Beast, I'm glad I can entertain you while you're at work, brother. Thank you. Brian Rotersheimer with a $5 Super Chat. Nia Jax going to SmackDown may make sense considering she's The Rock's cousin. She can join him and Naomi, can join Roman's side to spice up the war. I don't think any ladies will be a part of the Bloodline Civil War. I don't see that happening. Heisenberg with a $6.99. Guys, do you want Ilya vs. Gunther on a random Raw or a bigger stage at Bash in Berlin? Heisenberg, you make a good point, and so does Hero, man. Why do we want greatness interrupted by commercials? Trust the process. Ryan Fairbairn with a $2 super chat. Gunther Brazilia is a lock for Bash in Berlin 100%. Black Wolf Inc. with a $5 super chat. Actually, JD, I get why WWE may be setting up Tama Tonga versus Jey Uso as the final match in the King of the Ring. It was supposed to be McIntyre versus Orton due to their history. Listen, man, I would not be surprised if we get Jey versus Tama Tonga. I would not be surprised. Or maybe, listen, man, Jey versus Randy Orton makes sense, too, and that could play into the entire bloodline situation, too, honestly. You know, now that we're thinking about it, it's not as predictable as we once thought. Jey Uso is quite the catalyst here. Basic with a 14 months. I'm calling interference by Giovanni Vinci, causing Jey to get the win over Gunther. Again, I could see that, but he's on SmackDown. I don't see Triple H just breaking the rules of the draft. That would be a Vince McMahon maneuver. Advocate 005 with the new membership. Thank you, Advocate. Anthony Tewksbury with a $4.99. Randy versus Jey had a story behind it with Randy injury and Survivor Series when it looked like he was going for a rap on Jey. Again, there is history with their story for sure. With Jey and Randy's story, I could see that being played out, and maybe we get Jacob Fatu that way. I don't know. I could absolutely see that being the case, for sure. Corey Williams with 21 months. Thank you, Corey. Raw was awesome tonight, in my opinion. I thought Raw was very solid. Jared Howard with $2 super chat. Turned 28 yesterday. Did the Canes lose in Game 5? I don't know, Jared. I was watching the Braves blow a lead against the Mets last night on ESPN. I'm not a hockey guy. Jeremy, the midmost mark with a $5 super chat. What's up, brother? JD, talk to your bro. Get any more legionary in the intro. Visa issues suck for Gunther. Otherwise, it'd be far more hesitant on bloodline angle. Yeah, Jeremy, I don't know if Gunther's actually got the visa issues because I just now, all of a sudden, a light bulb went off in my head. I did see him in Vienna and Italy and on the European tour. While WWE was overseas doing the whole backlash thing. Maybe that got all settled. I have no idea. But again, everybody's saying it could be Jey and Randy. I don't physically see WWE beating Gunther. I just don't see it. He lost at WrestleMania. Why would he lose so soon? I don't see that being the plan. Michael Krause with a $2 super chat. Spicy McCrispy, LOL, yeah. Basic with a $4.99. Kofi has done the unthinkable, losing to Lesnar faster than we all expected. Yes, that was quite unthinkable. Anthony Tewksbury with a $4.99. War Games match. Tribal War, Rock, Solo, Tama Tonga, and Tangaloa. There's Roman, Jey, Jimmy, and Jacob. That's a rumor. That is certainly a fantasy booking scenario for sure. I don't know where Jacob Fatu is going to land. I see Jacob Fatu being a heel more than a babyface, but we'll see. Televo Sueze with 11 months. Tonight was pretty solid. The only downer was Becky Dakota's match. That's a shame because Kaya's great. Can't wait till Rhea gets the title back. Yes, that was the low point of the show. Becky is just not that interesting. Lisa with a $5 super chat. Great show, JD. You're right. Gunther was in Vienna earlier this month. Hoping Gunther wins next week. Gunther Randy would rock, or as you would say, would cook. I agree, Lisa. That match would certainly cook, for sure. Tyler Floyd with a $19.99. Gunther has to win King of the Ring. If not, what else is he going to do? Beats Priest in Berlin. I could see it. That metalhead dude with a $4.99. I don't think they're going to debut Jacob Fatu with a bloodline because he was going to outshine Solo, so maybe he'll be the babyface on the babyface team. That is a rumor. That is a rumor, but whose fault is that? That's WWE's fault for not getting Solo further along. He's been a fucking mute for most of the Bloodline run. Sidro with a $5 super chat. Which NXT star can Jesus relate to most? Karrion Kross. I like it. You're on it tonight, Sidro. Jedi Joker with a $5 super chat. Attended a live local show on Saturday. Some good talent. Keep the names Adina Steele and Riley Crow in mind. Shout out to 570 Wrestling Experience. You got it, Jedi. I don't know who the fuck you're talking about, but I'm glad you had a good time. And Brendan Watson with a $4.99. Why is Roman's last name Reigns? Because he reigns as champion. Brendan, you're not funny, bro. Keep the jokes to Sidra, bro. Thank you for the $4.99. Guys, I'm getting out of here. I've overstayed my welcome. I've overstayed my welcome, man. I have overstayed my welcome. Thank you guys for all the support. Appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out. Follow me on social media at JD from NY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Make sure you guys go check out the rest of the content on the channel. Plenty of it. And hit that subscribe button down below, man. Become a part of the OTS family as we are on our way to 160,000 subscribers. Tomorrow night, episode 48 of Tuesday Night Titans with JD and the Sala Monster. Tomorrow night right here on OTS. Until then, guys, have a great Tuesday, and I'll see you tomorrow night with Tuesday Night Titans. See you later.